You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, welcome to the Paranormal Portal podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful night, and thank you so much for tuning in and supporting all that we're doing here on the podcast. It's been amazing. You guys have been amazing out there checking us out and subscribing and downloading, and it's just a real pleasure. Of course, I'm your host, Brent Thomas. This is the Paranormal Portal podcast, and once again, special thanks to Revolver Podcast for making all this possible. Everybody, welcome to the show. I'm your host, of course, Brent Thomas, and you have now successfully entered the Paranormal Portal. So welcome, and please make yourselves at home. Be sure to keep your seats in the upright and locked position as we move through the portal. But it was funny in my head, for what it's worth. So let's get into some of these stories and see what you guys think about these. A few weeks ago, around the start of December, I've only just now gotten around to writing it down. Actually, it looks like it. Okay, yeah, this is December of 2017, so, yep. A lot of this ties back to another thing that I wrote, and it says I'd advise you to read that before you read this. It'll make a bit more sense. Well, no, I don't think we're going to do that tonight, but we'll just have to wing it. When I was a child, I used to have dreams of a First Nations village burning down. Recently, I've had to go back to my old place to tie up some loose ends and other things that I had to do. Plus, it's been almost 4 years, and I still haven't finished moving the rest of my items to the house and I'm living in now. And I kind of need my things, and I spent about a week and a half there. And in that week and a half, I had that reoccurring dream, and perhaps a ghost that still bothers me a bit. The dream starts off with a little wooden house, and it's brightly lit, it's snowing, and it feels very peaceful. To me, it felt like it was about Christmas time in this dream, and I blink, and then everything is different. The lights aren't on anymore, and it stops snowing. Walked inside, and it's absolutely horrifying. From what I see, it looks like a family of three, father, mother, and a baby, were killed, and I never saw their faces. I just saw their bodies and the insane amount of blood. That's horrible. It honestly looked like someone took an axe to these people. The crib was the worst. I never looked in, but I could see the blood-stained blankets, and I stood there for a bit, listening to the wind and the dripping of what was most likely blood, and then I'd wake up. Just a note, my old place had a huge yard and several old buildings, but down the road was my grandpa's field that actually connects to my yard, and that's where he put his cows, for the winter. And there's this old building that's falling apart that my grandparents called the Anderson House. I still don't know why, but according to grandfather, it had been there as long as he can remember, and it looked freakishly like the house from this dream of mine. He says, I've never gone into the building, but there were way too many spiders for my comfort, and it's also winter up in here in Canada, so there probably weren't any spiders. Being the dumb teenager I am, I went in. I don't even know how to describe it, but I got the weirdest feeling ever. I felt like any second something was going to get me. I just didn't know what it was. Personally, I think I was really just freaking myself out. Towards the end of the week, I was back at Grandpa's field feeding his herd of cattle, and he's pushing 85 years old, and farming is really hard on him. He's just too determined to quit, and someone was there. To be honest, it looked like some guy had waltzed right out of the back out of a black and white film. He was just standing in front of the Anderson house and just staring at me. I have no idea how long we stared at each other before he just was gone. I blinked and bam, he wasn't there. I've got no idea what to make of any of this. Perhaps it was the man from the murder scene? Maybe just lost soul? It can't be a coincidence, but I've got to wonder why now. I'd only been back for just over a week and weird things were happening, especially since my last weird dream I had was many months ago, and the only spirit activity I've encountered lately is some shadow that enjoys the corner of the basement. It's really weird, and I'm not sure what to do. Well, yeah, that's a strange one. You know, buildings do absorb things, and of course, if something as tragic as a homicide took place, that wouldn't surprise me, and it could be an active, intelligent presence. It could just be a residual of that horrible act, if that did indeed occur there. He never says whether or not he checked into it, so we don't know if it actually happened or not, but that's just his premonitions of what he's receiving, and so it's anybody's guess. But I think we've all walked into places and experienced a vibe, a feeling, an impression, and are not always sure where it is, what it comes from. And I get those kind of weird feelings often when I'm in antique places. For me, antique malls, they are the coolest places, because it's like, I don't know. I get vibes. I get feelings off of things. You know, I mean, just usually it's just it's not really a refined type of feeling. Like I couldn't tell you a story about an item or anything like that. But I just get impressions off of things, like happy impressions, sad impressions, just real rudimentary. But I love going to antique malls because I don't know. It's like there's so many things in there that are somehow on some level telling a story. And the same with old houses. When, you know, like when I was over in England, visiting a friend of mine over there, he took me to many places, like, and old over there is like hundreds of years old, hundreds and hundreds of years old. And over here, old is, you know, 100 or 200 years. And that's about as old as it gets outside of, you know, what was here before it was settled by us. But, you know, I just think places absorb stuff, and we as energetic beings are capable of picking those things up. So this doesn't necessarily imply an active haunting, but something may have happened there, and this person's, by just repeated exposure, has picked up that impression, and perhaps when he's sleeping is the only time he can actually process all that energy he's been picking up. I don't know, it's just a stab in the dark. It's anybody's guess, but that's how I would identify it. So this one is a little bit different, but I like this story. I didn't really read it all the way through, but I read little parts of it. And it goes, 3 days before Christmas, I was with clients at a sacred place here in Sedona that has adopted me, which I call the family of trees. I've been wanting to continue to show my heart to this special place and keep building a relationship with the tree people. And as I stood amidst the beauty of the little fir trees, it dawned on me that it would be a wonderful plan to hike back up there by myself on Christmas Day and read them a few chapters of my book, The Woodstock Bridge. A little self-promotion. I have never done this, so I told the trees out loud, as always, that I would be back on Christmas to read to them. What better way to show my heart? Christmas came, and that morning I was a little woozy. I figured I was dehydrated. Well, I was a lot woozy, so I hydrated with some electrolytes and waited until the late afternoon to go. I wanted to keep my promise to the tree people, but I also wanted to be careful to not endanger myself because this was a tough uphill hike. By 3:30, I figured if I didn't leave, I would lose the light, and I made a quick assessment. Yes, I was still swaying around a little, but it was getting better, and anyone who has been hiking with me will know how overly cautious I am, especially about dehydration. I decided to give it a try. If at any moment I was making a wrong choice, I would just turn around, and also checked with my spirit guides, and they said, go for it. The hike up was fine, and I went slowly, taking the safer route, continuing to drink water with electrolytes. I got to the family of trees and greeted them. Aho, family of trees. Aho, brothers and sisters. Aho, I greet you on this special day. I offer you these humble words on the day of my brother's birthday. I consider Jesus to be my brother, and this is not in the Catholic context. He is a big part of my work, and this is another story. So I started from the beginning of my book, and first I began with the acknowledgments of the special people who supported me. To hear their names spoken out loud and my words traveling across the Sedona Red Rocks, wow, it was unbelievable. To honor them in this way meant everything to me. I read the first two chapters, and with each sentence was so grateful I could share this with the tree people. I hope that my words would reflect my mission to encourage people to know that everything is alive. Trees, rocks, plants, everything. We are all connected. I sat there among the trees, which always seems to be glowing, and felt part of them. I could feel them smiling. I felt a stillness and a peace in that moment. Again, so grateful to have come to this place in my life. I finished and thanked them and made a tobacco offering to all those that support me. And I knew I would lose the light soon and remembered to not cut too close, so I headed down. As I was coming out of the woods, I felt my heart go warm. And about 30 seconds later, as I came around a corner, a beautiful deer was standing in front of me. Aho, grandfather. Aho, thank you, thank you. Blessings to you. Greg the guide. And the author of that was Gregory Drambour, and he's the author of The Woodstock Bridge. And he's the owner of Sedona Sacred Journeys. So a very cool story. And the reason that I like that is that I think we need to remember that we are an energetic family. You know, we're all interconnected. We all have connections to everyone and everything around us, whether or not we are the grand architect of everything, or whether, you know, whether you believe that or not, or you believe that we are subordinate to another creator that is the creator of these things. In any way that you look at it, there's still an interconnectedness. Either we're connected to these things as their creator, if we are the creator beings of all that we're experiencing, or if you prefer to view it as we are subordinate to an amazingly bright light spirit that connected and created everything. So by virtue of that connection to this great light, we are also connected to all things. So the semantics of these kind of beliefs aren't important. It's wherever you are at, and wherever you envision yourself within this intricate web of connectedness, of this oneness. But we oftentimes lose ourselves. We oftentimes think we're alone. We think we're separate. We think that we're not a part of things. We think that we work our way through a world. And by that, I mean that we kind of weave our way through obstacles in order to make it through life. But if we don't weave, if we can dance with life, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, would, you know, if we celebrate the connections and we allow them to come through us and us through them, would life not be easier? Just food for thought. And I don't mean to change anyone's paradigm or create a paradigm for anybody, but I just think it's important to remember that we are a part of all this. We're not a part of it. We are a part of it. So we're not a part. We are a part. I hope that makes sense to you guys. Oh, but I thought that was a really pretty story. So I am honored to have shared it with you guys. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up, we're going in. All right, let's continue on. I know people have told many ghost stories, and many people will not believe them. And frankly, I was one of those non-believers when I was younger. Yeah, my family would watch paranormal movies and out of this world kind of things, and but who would think that something like that could possibly be real? Watching shows like that doesn't help you when someone you love dearly passes away. And I'm the second oldest in my family, and I never would have imagined the feeling of losing a close relative so soon, let alone my own father. A few days after my 12th birthday in December of 2002, my father became really ill. He suffered 2 heart attacks within a year, and we just visited him in the hospital because it was Christmas Eve. And all of my siblings and my mother were sitting by his bed and sitting there stoic. Of course, we gave him hugs and kisses, but he whispered in my ear to stay behind for a minute. And so I did. After everyone left the room, all he said was, "I love you so much, my girl. Stay strong for them, okay?" And I nodded. For the next morning, Mother went to visit Father in the hospital, and in my mind I was thinking, yes, Dad's going to be home for Christmas. I looked at the clock, 5:30 a.m., right on the dot. Phone rings, no name, no number listed. Still a curious child, I answered the phone even though I was told not to. It was Dad. He was laughing. He said, "My girl, I love you. I love your sisters and brother. And, of course, your mother. Tell them that, my girl. I love you, and I'll see you later." And he hung up. I never even got to say one word. He talked. I listened. And that was that. Mom walked in holding a bag, crying so hard her face was red. She said that Dad passed away this morning. And everyone started crying right away. I didn't. I said, "No, he didn't. I just talked to him." She explained to me he did and what had happened, even down to when he took his last breath, which was exactly at 5:30 a.m. It took me weeks to comprehend what had happened. I couldn't tell my mother. again about the phone call from him. It was way too devastating for her. I sat with my father on the last night of his wake. I talked to him and asked him why he left, why he called home, and told me what he told me, and last, why didn't he let me say see you later back? I know he would never be able to answer me, but still I had to ask him. I adjusted the items we put on his casket, his favorite Minnesota Vikings hat, a man of good taste, being a Minnesota guy, his sunglasses, pictures we drew for him, and pictures of us, and of course, my mother's letter she sent with him, propped neatly in his casket. The next Christmas, my mother had went all out. She bought everything we asked for, even though I had told her I didn't want anything. I opened all my gifts except for one, admiring the bow, the paper, and how neatly it was wrapped. My mom anxiously said, "Just open it already." So I did. And it was a camera. Kind of odd because I just told her the day before that I really wished I had a camera to take more family pictures. I put the battery and memory card in it and made it ready for picture taking time. And at that exact moment, I remembered that TV show we watched when Dad was still here, and he laughed at the episode because they were taking pictures at turned-off electric devices that had screens on them. He said it was the dumbest thing he'd ever seen. And I told him it was cool because of the little dots and the shadows they were getting. But when they uploaded these pictures onto the computer, it would turn the whole thing off and it would no longer work. "It's fake," he said. I thought about trying it because it was exactly 1 year from Dad's passing. I turned the TV off and everyone was looking at me and getting mad because they were watching a Christmas movie, and I pointed the camera at the tree and TV, one flash. Orbs were everywhere in the picture. No shadows or anything that I could see on the camera screen. Nothing that looked like Father, just orbs. Second picture, I pointed the camera at the TV screen. And like I said, it was already turned off, and all you can see on the camera screen is a flash on the TV, and that was it. All of my siblings, even my mother, told me it was a dumb idea and to turn the TV back on, so I did. The next day, I wanted to see the pictures on my computer, blow up the pictures and see if I caught anything, and I sat down and plugged the camera in, and to my surprise, the first picture, I caught a shadow behind the tree, along with the orbs that were floating around the tree, and I showed my mom and my siblings, and they laughed and said it was fake. The second picture, I magnified the pic on accident, and it zoomed into the middle of the picture under the flash, and I jumped out of my chair and ran to grab my mom. She came to the computer, and she saw it. Right when she got close enough to the computer, she started crying. I caught a perfect picture of my father's face right under the flash on the TV screen. I showed my siblings this picture and they all had tears in their eyes. And that was when I reminded them of the phone call from him exactly 1 year before. And I said that now they can believe me. I don't have to hide this secret anymore. They hugged me and said it was the best Christmas gift I had ever given. Of course, the next morning our computer broke before I'd even gotten time to email it to my other family members. I went to look at my camera and it was hot. Batteries were taken out and the memory card was literally fried. I couldn't believe it. Brand new computer and camera broken in a day. To this day, my siblings and I remember and talk about it as if it was the best thing, which in our case it is. We no longer have our mother as well, and more stories will be written about them both. Trust me, there is more. My parents always told me that when someone passes away, they never die, they rest. And you're never ever supposed to say goodbye. It's always see you later. Rest in peace to my wonderful father. This one will always be his story, and it's ours to share. Very cool. Hope you guys like that. That was an amazing story. Wow. I got chills. That's a beautiful story. That is awesome. Kind of a tearjerker though, yeah. Whew. But I like it. I love the idea that they're still there. they're still reaching out. They're still watching. They're still taking a part in our lives. It's just a different role than what they played when they were here. Very cool. Now, this one comes out of Germany, so this will be very interesting. First of all, would you please excuse any mistakes I might make while I'm writing this? And I'm from Germany and have learned English only as a second language, so there might still be a little bit more to learn until it might be perfect. My story isn't so much scary as a few others I have already read on this site, but I wanted to share it because I just don't know what to make of it. The first part is about some kind of premonition, I think. The second part about a ghost, perhaps. This is not the first mysterious thing that's happened to me at home, but since it is about my dear grandma, I want to tell this first. It started on the 25th of December in the year of 2001. I was 15 at that time, and we visited my grandma. My grandma had died nearly 10 years ago already to celebrate Christmas with her. As you might know, we exchange presents here in Germany on the 24th and visit other family members on the 25th and 26th. Excuse me. We had a very good time, and we made her promise that she wanted to come over to our house the next day to see our Christmas tree. So she was still alive, but at the time of this writing, she'd been passed away. I got it. Okay. I wasn't catching that at first. She had trouble walking, but we only live a few hundred meters away from her, so she agreed to come, and I was really happy about it because the year before, she hadn't been able to come because she wasn't feeling well. When we said goodbye, she looked troubled, and out of nowhere, she asked me if I liked one of her nice glass jars. I said that I thought they were all beautiful, but that I didn't understand what she was talking about. And she said if I wanted to gift me one, if she wanted to gift me one of them, that I could choose any one of them. I told her I was happy to only look at them for now, and she could always gift it to me some other time. She had already gifted me way too much for this Christmas. What she told me and the look she was giving me then were very confusing to me. You never know how much time you have left. I was very shocked, but I told her she surely had lots of time left and hugged her for a very long time. My parents hadn't even heard the last part. She said so I didn't speak of it. I wasn't even sure I hadn't misunderstood her. The next day, I felt relatively normal again. I didn't have any bad dreams, and I had come to the conclusion that I was overreacting the other day, but I just couldn't get my thoughts away from Grandma. I had never thought about the day she might not be here anymore. Right then, I had this scary daydream about seeing her house with the lights behind her front door on, and me standing in her living room where her Christmas tree was still standing with the lights on, but only in this room, knowing that the rest of the house was dark and empty. I felt very sad, but told myself I was just unreasonable, and Grandma was fine after all, and she would soon be here. It was already early afternoon, and she would never come after it got dark. It must have been 2 hours after my daydream when the telephone rang. It was my uncle who wanted us to come over. He also lives very close to us and just next to my grandmother's house. Grandma had died. They told us she had just finished grocery shopping and was on her way to the bus stop when she suddenly collapsed. Someone called the ambulance and they tried to revive her for a long time, but that they had trouble identifying her and calling her relatives, so she was already over 2 hours dead when we arrived at her home, where only the front door light and the lights in the living room were on, and we entered with my uncle. I've never believed that you can feel when someone you love dies. All my life, I've never felt anything the moment someone died or something horrible happened, so why did I have this vivid daydream just when my grandmother collapsed? This is something that troubles me, but it is only the beginning. Later in the evening, that day, we went back home. It was pitch black outside and very cold. I was exhausted after talking so much and being sad and just feeling awful. Suddenly, as I was standing in our living room with only the Christmas tree on, I heard our doorbell ringing, and the same moment our camera went on, It's one of these electric doorbells that are combined with a little screen and speaker, so you can see who's ringing and also talk to them. I couldn't imagine who would come at this hour and in this situation, so I was a little bit confused, but went looking nonetheless. When I looked at the screen, first I couldn't make anything out. Our movement's sensitive lighting was on, but the image was so bad that I wasn't sure if I saw someone, so I thought about talking to them when I suddenly got goosebumps. In that moment, I saw that the distortion in the picture looked like a simple shape of a human with a coat, and I knew something was there. I was absolutely frightened and didn't dare open the door or even talk to them. My first thought was that it could be Grandma, who wanted to complete her visit, and I very nearly opened, but if it was her, why did I have such a bad feeling? So I tried to ignore it. You should know that our doorbell until then didn't malfunction, not even once. But since then, it will ring very often without someone pushing it, at least once a week, but sometimes also multiple times a day and or night. Most often when it gets dark and cold, and always only when no more than one person is there to see it. We also had nights when no one was near the screen, and it was ringing and showing a picture, but we never experienced something when more than one person is in the room. Sometimes the screen will show a normal picture when a real person is actually standing there, and sometimes even when I can't see someone, but only if the motion-sensitive lighting isn't on, and all of the other times it will be very much distorted. With distorted, I mean that you can still see a picture, but it is rippled and the contrast isn't right. Whenever it rings and the picture on the screen is very bad, I still get goosebumps. I don't know why, but I doubt that it is still my grandma who wants to be let in. What do you think? Should I ignore it? Or is there another solution? We also tried to fix the bell, switched every part at least once, but it won't stop. My opinion of that is trust your gut. If you feel like something not right is going on, listen. Listen to it. Definitely don't ignore that. That is, I don't know. There's that old legend. If something knocks at your door and you open it and no one's there, you might have just let him in. So best to keep it shut if you can't tell. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up. We're going in. We'll see what you think about this. My scary experience happened during my last year in high school. As a tradition during Christmas in our school, my teachers organized caroling to raise funds for some school activities. For those who don't know, we go house to house and sing Christmas songs, and the owners give us some money, but no obligation. Caroling session is normally done at night. Just to give you an idea of my location, we are in a rural place in the countryside. The roads aren't cemented, so no streetlights, and the houses are far from each other. Rice fields and lots of it. At night, people are normally at home, and you can either hear the crickets or the dogs. This one night of our caroling, about 12 of us in the group, one teacher and the rest of us are classmates, we started at around 7 or 8 p.m. since our meeting place is at the teacher's house. We started out caroling at nearby houses, and we were just walking to go from each place to another, and about 2 hours passed, and it's also getting late at night, and we reached this place with a particularly old big tree just around the corner of a street. I heard a lot of ghost stories, especially about a white lady. Before we arrived there, we walked about 15 minutes and where there's nothing except rice fields, and we walked past this tree, and we were all really scared, but luckily, none of us felt anything weird. So we continued walking, but still have our eerie vibe, and I only saw two or three houses in the area with lots of big trees, and we stopped on the very first house and started to sing our Christmas song, After a while, we saw one of our classmates crying without any reason. Some of them trying to call to calm her down, but she couldn't be consoled. She didn't say anything, just crying, and it's getting even louder. And moments later, she looked at me and told me not to look at the tree, pointing to the tree. She said she saw a capre with red eyes, or a caper, I don't know, K-A-P-R-E, with red eyes, smiling and looking at me. It says capre, or caper, is a big man with hair all over his body like a monkey, and it lives in a tree. It usually smokes tobacco at night and smells like fish sauce, and at this moment, I felt super scared and almost fainted. I was also crying at the time, and I didn't dare to look back at the tree, not even a glance. My group decided that we leave this place immediately, so we walked back and spent the rest of our night at our school, which is about an hour and a half walk. At the school, we all stayed in one room on the second floor. It's an ordinary classroom, so each of us chose the most comfortable place to sleep, and surrounding this classroom are big trees. There are glass windows on one side of the wall. In the middle of my sleep, I was woken up by my whole body, and my chair was shaking, and it was shaking very strong. I know I was awake, and it wasn't a dream. I didn't open my eyes because I was so scared, but it lasted for about 3 minutes. My arms and legs were so numb. I just ignored it and fell back to sleep later on. Until now, I'm still unsure of what happened that night. That's strange. I don't know what to make of that one, ladies and gentlemen. But again, I don't understand that the legend or lore of the caper or capre or however you say it. But, you know, it could be. Every country has their own understanding of their spirits and their paranormal world. And I believe that, honestly, those expectations create what people experience. I think that the paranormal doesn't care how it's paranormal. It just appears in some way that makes sense to the people, I guess. I don't know. Not to say there couldn't be these hairy ape things that smoke cigarettes or tobacco, but it just, you know, it's odd to my Western sensibilities, but I can't dismiss anything because it's all possible, right? So, all right, I'm going to make my introduction short. My name is Maya, and this is an account that I share with my twin brother, and Demian. And between the two of us, we've had countless encounters and experiences. So I'd like to share one of my most confusing with you first. And this is coming out of the great state of Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see. A short time ago, my brother and I were living with our mother in Fort Worth, Texas, where we were renting this slightly aged one-story house. It had been in our home for quite some time, and we had known from the very first night we were there that something wasn't quite right. My mother came into the room one morning and told me that she had heard something scratching at the inside of her closed closet door in the middle of the night. And she said she couldn't distinguish what it was because the noise didn't sound like an animal or a plastic coat hanger scratching at the door, but rather a person trying to get out. The room was at that time hers and had been added to the house as an extension recently before we moved in, so I didn't understand how something like that could happen. My mother proceeded to tell me that the house was really starting to bother her. So after about 5 minutes of the scratching, she rose from her bed and opened her closet doors, and immediately the noise stopped, and she couldn't locate the source of the sound. Nothing like this ever happened again. Shortly after this, I started to see a small boy, maybe about 10 years old, standing in our hallway. The first time I saw him, I was coming out of the bathroom, and he was standing across the hall from me, just smiling. The look he had on his face really startled me, but didn't necessarily scare me because I've spent a bit of time around ghosts and spirits and I knew not to overreact. So I walked as calmly as I could back to my room and then informed my twin sister over MSN Instant Messenger what I'd just seen. He told me that he knew about the boy. Just my twin. So he knew about the boy and that he had already seen him once before, and that he felt like the young child wasn't going to hurt us. I began having dreams about this boy shortly after this, and the first I had was this. I was sitting on the futon in my room, typing at my computer, when I felt a sudden need to look towards the door. When I did so, the young boy was standing there in front of my door, looking frightened. When I asked him what was wrong, he didn't say anything, and we had established at some point that while the boy may move his mouth in speech, no one can hear his words, and yet we still understood what he was saying. I'd interpreted his silence somehow as a subconscious message saying, "Don't go out into the hallway. He's very angry. I don't want him to hurt you." I didn't know who he was, but the mention of him terrified me, and I peered cautiously out of my bedroom door to see what was in the hallway that had the boy so scared. There was nothing distinguishable about the hallway, but the entire space was pitch black. And upon seeing this, I fled back into my room and shut the door. I turned to the boy and told him, "Don't worry. You're safe in here, I promise. I won't let him hurt you." And that's when I woke up. I took the dream as some sort of sign telling me that there were a lot of spirits in the house, and at least one of them was really violent or really didn't like this boy that I'd taken to. Something told me when I woke up from this dream that the man that had so wanted to hurt this boy was somehow connected to my mother's closet. The incident with the scratching had already happened when I had this dream, but my mother hadn't yet told me about it. Again, shortly after this, I started seeing a figure, and it was never clear to me, more like a dark silhouette of a person in their late teens, maybe a few inches taller than me, and I'm 5'6". And I never got to see this person clearly, but I saw the dark silhouette of them around the house occasionally, and I felt almost safe when they were there. One night I had a dream about this figure. My mother just left for work, and my brother was gone for the day with his friends, and it was my day off from work, so I was home alone to fend for myself, and shortly after my mom had left for work, I went out into our garage to get a pizza out of the deep freezer, and as soon as I opened the door, the one connecting the house to the garage, all I saw was black. And I was terrified by this darkness, so I decided against it and closed the door. However, when I attempted to close the door, there was something stopping it from closing completely. I looked down and saw some sort of gray or white sweatshirt on the floor that had gotten in the way of the door and therefore it wouldn't shut. When I looked up, there was a man standing in front of me, smiling. The way he was dressed really confused me. He looked to be maybe 17, but his hair was long, perhaps to the middle of his back, and he kept in a low ponytail tied with a green ribbon. His eyes were the most vivid shade of green I had ever seen, kind of like spring grass right before it rains, or right after it rains. And I was astonished by this, but I couldn't look away from his eyes for quite a while, and then when I realized that I was seated at our breakfast counter away from the garage, I spoke to him, and I asked him who he was. But I almost already knew that somehow, he was the figure, and that I was never able to see clearly. The silhouette that I had seen frequenting the area around our garage door in our kitchen. So instead of giving me an answer to the question, the boy just smiled and shook his head, looking down at the floor. So I decided to ask a different question. I asked him, "Why are you here?" And this time he looked at me, smiled, and said, "I think you already know that." And that's when I woke up. When I woke up, I was flat on my back with my arms at my sides, and I thought it was strange because I never sleep like that, especially on my futon. I always slept on my side, and I felt like I needed to touch my head for some reason, but when I tried to lift my arms, I couldn't. And that's when I became aware of the pressure pushing down on my wrists. It wasn't painful, just there. And I became kind of panicky, so I opened my mouth to yell for my brother who was sleeping in the next room. However, when I opened my mouth, I felt rather than saw a hand gently cover my mouth as the pressure on my left wrist disappeared and heard someone say, "Shh, don't." The soft yet commanding tone of the voice immediately made me stop, but my heart was racing. I closed my eyes and trying to will the feeling of helplessness away, and when I did so, I felt someone place the softest of chaste kisses on my forehead. I'm not sure what a chaste kiss is, but I guess it's soft. And then all of the pressure lift and I could move again. However, I could still feel the kiss on my forehead, so I didn't move for a while. And I could feel the air around my bed, which had grown frigid during this time, slowly begin to gain some warmth back. These series of experiences are some of the most vivid I had from living in that house in Texas, and I'd like opinions and comments on this. Do you believe what happened to me? Do you believe there are spirits who know and can acknowledge the fact that their death and still communicate with people in such an earthly manner? I it's completely possible. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if these stories are real or not. I have no way of verifying them, but I think they're interesting, and they certainly do create a dialogue of trying to understand what these mean. This one almost sounds more like a romance novel than a ghost story, but it's not impossible. It's not implausible, I guess. It's just, these are the harder ones to wrap your head around because they just seem to have such a twilight vibe to them, I guess. It's the best way I could say it. But one more tonight, and then we're going to call it a night. But this one is coming out of Pennsylvania and says, this actually happened yesterday morning. I was up bright and early at about 5:45 to be exact, and so I could get a head start on spreading mulch in our gardens. I had to go in the garage to get a pair of gloves, and lying on top of a box that was resting on top of a railing leading to the stairs. And now the door to the garage leads right into the kitchen, and there's a window in that door, so you can get a pretty good view inside of where I was standing. And I just happened to look at the window and saw what looked like a silhouette just standing there, doing absolutely nothing, just standing there. The front facing the front of the door. I wasn't exactly scared at first, but after looking at it for some time, it really began to freak me out a little bit, and I went back outside to keep working, but I came back later that day, and I saw it again. I shut my eyes and opened them again, and the figure was standing exactly in that same spot it was standing earlier, just like before, not doing anything, just standing there, looking towards the window. I got pretty scared that time, and I'm not exactly sure what happened, just saying what I saw. I don't know. That sounds... Why do they stand there? Why do they stare? I don't know. Very strange. But I guess they got their reasons, ladies and gentlemen. I don't pretend to know. And I suppose it depends on the spirit. I mean, what are they doing? What are they trying to do? Is it as individual as we are? All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at paranormalportal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.